instructed us to, if we two or three agree as touching anything in what we've done of my Father which is in heaven. So let's pray right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we have had, Lord, to come into your presence, O God, in this place. And Lord, as we call upon your holy name, I stand upon your promise, Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, O Lord. And God, you know, Father, the burdens that we have had, Lord, and the needs of your people. All those, Lord, that we have been bringing before you, Lord, and amen, in petition, Lord, I pray, God, that you administer, Lord. You know the needs, Lord, and I pray that you administer to every individual. God, that you would reach out, Lord, that you would touch them. Amen, Lord, whatever the need may be, Father. Salvation, O God. Amen, Lord, healing and deliverance, O Lord, for those that we have lifted up, God. We pray that you administer, Lord, that you would move, O God. Amen, Lord. Pour out your spirit, Lord, and do a work, O God. Manifest, amen, Lord, your grace, O Lord. Amen, Lord, your saving grace, O God. And Lord, we pray for all those that are here this morning. Every individual, every household, every family, Lord, that is represented. God, as you instructed us, Lord, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, I pray that you administer, God, to your people. Go before them, O Lord, and make a way, Father. Amen. Minister to every need, Lord, whatever it may be, God. Our physical needs, our material needs, our financial needs, God. Our spiritual needs, Lord. I pray, God, that you would move, O Lord. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Amen. Upon us, O God. In this place, O Lord. And do a work, O God. Amen, Lord. Strengthen, Lord. Quicken and lift up your people, God. Amen, Lord. We thank you, Father. Amen. For what you, O Lord, are doing, Lord. And bind us together that we can truly be one body, Lord. And that we can be of one spirit and one mind and one accord together in this place, Lord. Bless, Lord, our meetings here, Lord. Our holy convocations. Let your presence be with us, O Lord. And we ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let it be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all the other classes can be dismissed to their respective classrooms. And hallelujah. We shall continue. Amen. And what we have been studying in the scripture concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Last week I ministered on the representation. God's kingdom being represented here on earth, representation of the kingdom. Amen. And if you turn with me in your Bibles, just quickly, we will read a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 8. We'll just kind of, as I love to do, just kind of step back just a little bit so we can kind of get our minds situated on what we have been studying, coming to know, coming to understand. And this morning, as we get there to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8.
Hebrews 1:8.
1:8, yes.
You said 8.
Oh, did I say 8? Well, I said, excuse me, I meant verse 8 in Hebrews 1. Praise God. And so we read there, if everybody has it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This morning, Last week, we talked about the presentation of the kingdom. This morning, we're talking about when righteousness reigns. When righteousness reigns. If you would step back just a few books in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, and you see here the Apostle Paul, in verse number 14, he says this, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's good to know that our Savior, our Lord, our God, is the only King of kings.
Yes, amen.
And Lord of lords. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's just something to understand. And the reason why I believe this is really important for us to take a look at and to comprehend, to get the picture. To get the picture. Those of you that are familiar with the dispensations, the seven dispensations of time that have been, that we are placed into. Right now, without you realizing it, we're in the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace, in other words, the dispensation of the outpouring of God's Spirit. And amen. The sixth dispensation, which we're in right now, we're coming to the close of that dispensation. We're coming to the very end of it. We're seeing that by all the things that are taking place out there in the world. It's all, there's so many things about prophecy that are, have been and are being fulfilled right now. We're coming right down to the final moments, the final days and the final weeks. And we're seeing this, and we're seeing this witnessed all over the world, all over this globe, but even in this country, we can see the unrest. We can see the lawlessness. We can see, amen, the chaos, the violence. It just goes on and on. We can see all that disruption upon our communities and the societies that, you know, that are here on this world. And praise God, it's not good. We could all say that, can we? It's not good. Everything that we see, there's nothing really good that you can hear on any news, praise God, that's put on, you know, our television networks. Nothing really good, nothing positive. Maybe sometimes, you know, but it has nothing to do with really what really has to be experienced, and that's righteousness, and that's joy, and that's peace. Nothing is never really brought out concerning that, but all we can see is all the troubles, all the, like Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. So we're getting an example, and whether we understand this or not, but we don't see the whole picture relative to what's going on. Because at the end of this age, at the end of the sixth dispensation, the dispensation of grace, we're going to be ushered into the seventh dispensation, which is, amen, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It's so beautiful. When you take a look, like everything that's going to be fulfilled in the end times, and you're coming to the very last end of the 70th week of Daniel, when that takes place, and then in the Feast of Tabernacles. This is why it's really beautiful to understand prophecy and, amen, the prophecy being fulfilled. But during the Feast of Tabernacles, when all that, you know, when God pours out his wrath and all those people, even his own people, there's only going to be a third that are going to survive the wrath of God. Can you imagine that? A third that are going to, by God's grace, are going to make it through his people. So as a result, to usher us into that seventh dispensation, the millennial reign of Christ, amen, what's going to take place? And the memorial, of course, we understand in the Feast of Tabernacles, the itself taking place on the 15th to the 21st of the Jewish month Tishrei, was a remembrance of their wandering in the wilderness. So they built booths and they put all these up so they can remember, amen, their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. That wandering, of course, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to remember our earthly pilgrimage. Us to come into that place where the church is going to remember when it was when we roamed this earth, when we wandered this world, our earthly pilgrimage. But what's going to do? It's going to usher us in. So the church and the Jews are going to, what's the first thing that's going to take place as they enter into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? You know what it is? It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And you read that. You read that in the book of Zechariah when that's going to happen, and we're going to see that. So we're going to be ushering. But what's the whole thing about this? We're ushered into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The millennial reign. The 1,000-year reign.
Amen. That's right.
Study history. There's so much to this, but I'm just trying to give you an idea so you can see the comparison. When you study history, there has not been one kingdom that has ruled 1,000 years. Some have come, some have been, you know, come to their height, and then yet they have, you know, been brought down. And if you ever notice that, Hitler, when he came, that was his objective, the Third Reich. You know what his objective was? That they could reign and rule for 1,000 years. Where did he get that idea from?
Right.
But it wasn't the kind of reign.
That's right.
So he says this. Now, let me tell you something. We fail to really see the important details about what it is to be able to have a sovereign, as the Apostle Paul said, the blessed and only potentate. A sovereign, a king, who is able to reign righteously. Praise God. And that's what he said. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is something that is important for us to understand. We don't see it that way, but, and the reason why I say is we don't even realize this. Already he has begun, amen, his outreach to man in preparation of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven becoming a realization. Actually coming to its point where it's going to begin. Obviously, right now, we're being prepared. We're being prepared for that. And does anybody know how that, what's the preparation process? Praise God. What do you say? When John the Baptist and Jesus came preaching, they were making the people of Israel aware, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's right here. It's right near you. It's all around you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they were saying, in other words, prepare, because that's how close the kingdom is. You know what they were doing? They were preparing the people of Israel. They were preparing the people of Israel because the kingdom of heaven, guess what? We don't have to wait to get there when that millennial reign starts, because we can get a foretaste of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
How does that happen? We are born from above.
Yes.
Amen. Born into that kingdom. That, remember what I said? That economy. Born into it. Amen. No man can enter. No man can see the kingdom of heaven lest he be born again. No man can enter into the kingdom of heaven lest he be born again. So that process takes place in the dispensation of grace so we can get a little foretaste of the kingdom of heaven. That's why he said, by the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Ghost, guess what's going to reign in our hearts? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So here we are. Guess what? Here's that righteous reign. Here's that righteous rule. Here's that righteous authority. You and I have that Spirit living within us when we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let's do some research into history. And I want you to understand some things that are really important points. And I mean, when you understand this, when you can approach this in this manner, you'll come to an understanding that you never really even thought. But here we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Look what's going on here. This was after the people of Israel were situated into the promised land, quite some years after they entered into the promised land. Now let me bring something to your mind. Let me bring something to give you some insight. Okay, up until this time, and we know this, Samuel was obviously one of the last judges that ruled Israel. Joshua was the first judge. Samuel was the last judge that ruled Israel. So under their rule, under their superintendence, from the time that the Lord brought them out of Egypt, from the time he settled them into the promised land. You read that in the book of course, the book of Judges. So what form of government were the people of Israel under?
Theocracy.
Theocracy is where God rules. So everything was given to them as far as their form of government, as long as they obeyed the law, as long as they walked in his words and his commandments. Guess what? God's governing was established. They kept the commandments of God. They kept the principles of the kingdom. So here they were. They were under the rule of theocracy. They were under God's rule. Amen. Is that understandable?
Yes.
So look what happens here. Verse number 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. So here we see Israel becoming like all the other nations, having a king rule over them. So this was their beginning as far as, amen, moving from theocracy, the rule, the governing of God, to a monarchy. In other words, a king. A king. So Israel went from theocracy to monarchy. the rule of God to the rule of men. And obviously this was what was going to happen. And the Lord spoke it to Moses. If you go there in the book of, you can read that in chapter 5, chapter 8, verses 5 to 22. You can read that whole story behind this when you get time. Read it so you can understand it. But you go to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 17 in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm just doing this for reference sake so you can understand, so you can know the reason why this took place and why it was happening. But so they went from theocracy to being under the rule of a monarch. And you see here in Deuteronomy 17, verse number 14 here, you see here, look what it says here, and if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. This is on when they were getting ready to cross the Jordan River, when they were getting ready to make their way into the promised land. He says this in verse number 14, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. So what they came to ask Samuel was, the Lord already spoke that was going to happen. It was just something that was going to be. Amen. So here we see that. So he says, Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee, that thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. So you can see in this passage, he's kind of letting them know as far as, amen, the king, the kingship. Now I want you to know, I want you to understand this. So they were calling for a king to rule over them. So Israel can become a kingdom just like any other kingdom. Does everybody understand? They can be just like any other nation, and they can have a king that will rule over them. But the Lord said this, is the king that I want you to set over you. He's got to be somebody from your brethren, and he has to be somebody, of course, that will be able to rule righteously and not take you back to Egypt. Praise God. In other words, have to be a righteous king. He had to be a righteous king. Somebody that was upright. Somebody that was full of integrity. Praise God. Couldn't be somebody that did not, wasn't able to judge righteously, to judge his people. So we see that. So this was the birth of Israel as a nation under a king, as a kingdom under a king. So does anybody remember? Does anybody remember who the first king of Israel was?
Saul.
Okay. Does everybody agree with that? Amen. Saul was the first king. Okay. Who was the second king after Saul?
David.
And who was the king after David?
Solomon.
And each one of these kings reigned, or they ruled, they sat on the throne 40 years apiece. 40 years apiece. So any of you that do math, 120 years. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. 120 years of sitting under three kings. But here's the thing. Here's something interesting. Solomon was the last. From the reign of Saul all the way to Solomon, it's referred to as the United Kingdom of Israel. In other words, that's when Israel, all 12 tribes, were under the rule of the monarchy of Saul, David, and Solomon. Praise God. I still got you?
Yep.
Okay, so is everybody understanding? So 120 years, and that was right around, you know, when Saul began to reign, you know, of course, you're looking at maybe right around maybe 1100 and some B.C., when that all began to happen, because David reigned from 1010 B.C., and then Solomon, of course, after him. So right around the time that the kingdom, up until that point, the kingdom was a united kingdom, but right around the time, does anybody even know what happened, what took place? What took place when the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of Israel was divided? This happened right around the year 975 B.C. when the kingdom was split. And the kingdom was split. And it was split and it became the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom consisted of the 10 tribes. 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom consisted of 2 tribes. We can narrow it down. The southern kingdom had 2 tribes, Judah, Benjamin. So the northern kingdom had 10 other tribes, of course, Manasseh, Ephraim, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Dan. You just go on, and you know who the... But why? What was the reason why there was a split in the kingdom? When Solomon took the throne, when he first began to rule from the throne, guess what? He was a righteous king. But toward the end of his reign, he became ungodly. Because of his many wives. How many wives did Solomon have?
700.
Maybe. 300 wives and 700 concubines.
A thousand.
And because of that many, guess what? They led him away. They led him astray. So he lost the authority because of his sin to rule. So his son, Rehoboam, stepped into his place, and guess what happened? Instead of leading the kingdom back to righteousness, he did the same thing. And then he even spoke to all the Israelites when they were saying that, if you would just take it a little bit more easier on us as far as the demands of your authority, we will serve you. But you know what he did? He did not listen. He did not take the advice of the elders. He took the advice of the young men. He said, no, my dad ruled with a whip. He said, my rule will even be more intense.
Right. That's right.
So what happened? The kingdom was split. 10 went north, 2 remained there. So the divided kingdom. So listen to this now. Listen to this. This is interesting. The divided kingdom. The northern kingdom from this point on, and this was after 97 B.C. The northern kingdom had 19 kings who ruled the northern kingdom. 19 kings. That's a lot of kings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Guess what? And that happened up until the time that the northern kingdom went into captivity into Assyria in 721 B.C. So the northern kingdom was ruled by 19 kings who were not godly kings. The southern kingdom had 20 kings who ruled. And they ruled from the time that Rehoboam, you know, followed or took the kingdom from his father Solomon, and all the way up until the captivity of Babylon, when, amen, Zedekiah was taken into captivity into Babylon, and that happened in 583 B.C. So from that time, the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, had 20 kings who ruled. Gives you an idea. 20 kings who ruled the southern kingdom. So I'll give you that much information. Now you can study who all those 19 kings were, 20 kings were, and you can study all about their reigns. But here's the thing. In the southern kingdom, and this is just an example. In the southern kingdom, there were only 9 kings who you would consider righteous or godly.
That's right.
Ooh. Why am I doing all? Why am I going through all this trouble of presenting all this information? You might think, oh, look, history. It's a good study in history, but it's going to help you to understand what is taking place, even now for us, and what's going to take place in the future. Wow. That's why I'm glad Jesus is my king.
Amen.
He's the King of Kings, and I'm glad he's my Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. I am glad for that very reason.
Amen.
So we see this. But here's the thing. There was a promise of a king that would come. There was going to be a righteous king who was going to come, who was going to be brought forth. He was going to be raised up. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 3. This is what Samuel said. He said, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Ooh. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. We could even break this down to when we talk about authority and power. My. Human nature has a problem. Praise God. Have a problem. Here's a personal question. I'm just kind of deviating from what I'm sharing with you just a little bit. But I felt an unction from the Holy Ghost. Here's a question for you. Who's seated on your throne? Everybody here? Who's seated on your throne? Who's the potentate? Who's the supreme ruler? Praise God. Who's seated on your throne? This is important. This is a concept. Remember what we started out studying? This is a concept. This is a principle. Praise God. And that's what we don't see. We don't see that concept. We don't see that principle of the kingdom. Guess what? If we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, it's going to be because we are born again. And guess what happens to us? By the Holy Ghost, there's going to be righteousness, joy, and peace.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to rule in our hearts. Amen. That's an indication of who's going to be sitting on your personal throne. Praise God.
Amen.
So, when the call was made, and of course you go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 9, we see that the prophet Isaiah, along with other prophets, begin to speak of the coming king. And you see that in Isaiah 9, it says, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of the increase, now look what it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. Wow. Think about that. Here was the promise that a king, a child was going to be born, a son was going to be given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Here was the promise of a righteous king that was going to be coming. And the Bible, of course, gives us amen and understanding concerning him, everything about us. His name shall be called. This is what he's going to be. And then he goes on, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. So let me ask you something. All of you in here who have received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, what is one of the things that you have experienced since you have been born again?
Peace.
Clarity. You have received peace. God has given you peace by the Holy Ghost. So peace, obviously, is the thing that should rule our mind, our spirit, our soul, even our body. And then what happens? Because of that experience, guess what happens? Righteousness. His righteousness is instilled in us. It's given to us by, amen, his spirit that lives in us. So here we see that. And so when he talks about of the increase of his kingdom, of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Guess what? There's no end to this.
Wow. Amen.
We can always look forward to it being there, being an abundance. Praise God. Amen. God has given us that in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
That's why, like somebody said, insight. Now we understand why it is. Guess what? When we experience the peace of God, there's nothing like it, isn't it?
Right.
When we walk in his righteousness, there's nothing like it. You know why? Amen. Because he is our God. He's
Amen.
Our king.
Amen.
He is our Lord. So guess what? It's taking place. So we see that. And so there was that promise that this was going to happen. Remember what I said last week? When his disciples, before he ascended up into heaven, they were saying, you know, what about the kingdom of Israel? They were asking him, I'm paraphrasing, what about the kingdom of Israel? When's that? Is the kingdom ever going to be restored? That's kind of what they're saying. He said, just hold on a second. They didn't comprehend what he was trying to tell them. Hold on a second. Go back into Jerusalem. Wait 10 days. You'll get the answer. The Holy Ghost being poured out. Guess what? He said, and that's what he said. Ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. With authority, because that's the kingdom.
Right. Amen.
So it was restored. Now here's another historical fact, okay? For all of you that do not know this. Did you realize this? Of course, coming into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when all that's going to be restored, beginning after the seventh week of Daniel, from that time, guess what? Up until the day that the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost is poured out, did you realize this? Did you realize this? That the Israel does not have a king or a kingdom. You read in the book of Acts where in the council there in Jerusalem in the book of Acts chapter 15 when they were all talking about what was the requirements as far as New Testament salvation and all this, they were speaking about this, and then amen, James stands up and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says that this is the tabernacle of David that is torn down. He's making reference to what God was doing in the church, the Holy Ghost that was being poured out and that he was calling to the Gentiles. But this is the tabernacle of David that has been torn down. When you take a look at that, when you study it in the Greek, what he's saying here, since the throne of David has been deposed. So in other words, when did that happen? When they went into captivity into Babylon. That many years, the throne of David was deposed. So that's why they did not have a king, or they did not have a kingdom. But here, they were looking for it to be like the kingdom of old. But it wasn't just going to be an earthly kingdom. It was going to be a spiritual kingdom. So that's why Jesus said that to them. But yet they couldn't comprehend it. Just had a hard time comprehending what that was. A spiritual kingdom. Let's go. Jeremiah 23:5. Let's go there. Jeremiah 23. Oh man, I tell you what. Jeremiah 23:5. Hallelujah. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 23:5. Amen. I'll let you get there. Jeremiah 23:5. So you see here, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So here comes that king. That king that he was going to raise up unto David. In other words, he was going to be of David's seed, of David's lineage. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So we see this. We see this. It's important for you to understand the significance. Remember what he said. Remember Isaiah said, the increase of his government. The increase of his government. So we're talking about not just the peace, but the righteousness that is going to prevail in this kingdom. Amen. Zechariah 9:9. If you go there, we're just looking at prophecy. I'm just, amen, sharing these things with you so you can know, you know, what was spoken and what was spoken through the prophets. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. So look what it says. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here we see prophecy concerning this king and how he was going to come. Your king cometh to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and rising upon an ass, and upon the coat, the foal of an ass. So what is the significance of this? When we read that, and go with me to Matthew chapter 21. Let's read that. Let's Let's see what that says. Matthew chapter 21. Praise God. And you see this here. Matthew 21. And right around verse number... well, we could start with... am I in the right? Okay, Matthew 21. Verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. So we see in verse number 4, and all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him there on. Wow. Praise God. I would love to get into a little bit of this, but I don't want to deviate from what I'm trying to present to you this morning. But when you think about it, when he's talking about, you know, what the scripture said about there being a king that was going to come forth, a king that was going to rule in righteousness, a king that was going to be just. Here we see this happening, but here's the whole thing about everything that we have been presenting to you this morning is this, you know, in the context of what the Word of God is saying, that, amen, they were looking for a physical kingdom, an earthly kingdom, amen, a worldly kingdom, but guess what? They failed to realize that the Word of God was talking about a spiritual kingdom, and that's what was going to happen. You see there in John chapter 18, amen, when Jesus was speaking to Pontius Pilate, and he stood before Pontius Pilate, and praise God, we started out in our scripture this morning, when we started out speaking about what the Apostle Paul said there, and you see this, and I'll just go back to it, but I want you to go to John 18, and I'll just read this, listen to this, what the Apostle Paul said about the Lord Jesus, amen, in the passage of scripture that we started out with. He said, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. A good confession. So when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession. In other words, you know what he did? He spoke. He spoke. And here's the thing about it that we're going to see and understand here. He spoke the truth about who he was. Amen. So you see that here in John chapter 18 and right around verse number 37. If you have it, say amen. If I can get to my page, man, I'll tell you what. Praise God. And this is what it says. It says, let's back up a little bit. Verse number 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, look what he says. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not an earthly kingdom. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? So he asked him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. This is the reason I was born. I was born for this reason, that I should bear witness to the truth. I'm going to be a righteous king. I'm going to be a king that exacts justice. So he says, amen. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. My. So here we see Jesus talking about the kingdom. Of course, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's pretty neat. I could go on all day on this if I really wanted to. Because when you compare the scriptures, when you look at the scripture, you see everything that the scripture kind of gives us, the understanding gives us, and praise God, just the combination or what God is doing, amen, and how he's working, we don't really understand and realize what is taking place as far as what God is doing. Remember, the scripture says in Psalms 115, verses 15 and 16, he said this, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he put into the hands of man. So here we have these two realms, these two dimensions, these two economies, heaven and earth. Is everybody paying attention? Heaven and earth, the spiritual and the physical. The spiritual and the physical. Right now, praise God, look across this world. Look across this continent. Look what we're seeing. We're seeing the rule of man. And we can see what the rule of man is doing. Not good. But here God is trying to come to a place where he's combining the two. That's what he started. That's what he set out to do. And that's what he's doing even right now. He's combining the two. And that's what Paul said. He said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So in other words, a combination, amen, the spiritual kingdom or the spiritual realm coming down here into the physical. Ooh. So that's what you and I are all about. Man, what he's doing through the church. So here's the thing. Guess what he calls us in the book of Revelation? He calls us, what does he call us? Kings and priests.
That's right.
All of you that are given to wanting to understand and learn, that seek knowledge, if you seek the Lord, it's what the Bible says, it's in the heart of a king to search out a matter. So in other words, guess what? There's more to who we are than we know right now.
Right now. Right.
Everything that we're doing right here, everything that, as far as the church is concerned, guess what? There's a purpose, there's a will that you and I haven't even begun to enter in or even to exercise in the principle of it. Praise God. I'll stop there for this morning. Thank you very much. I hope you understood. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you after break.